the host of the show, added, trying to wake the pretty boy up, the boy that obviously doesn't have the capacity to think or the desire to tell the truth. So you're saying that the idea that someone should be killed if they leave the Islamic religion is just a few bad apples? Mayor, of course, knows that the Quran itself in the fourth surah says if a Muslim leaves the religion, kill him. And in the ninth surah, Allah says that if they are peaceful, they cease to be a Muslim, they become a hypocrite, that the jihadist Muslims should kill them so the Islamic God can torture them in the hottest places in hell, meaning that there can be no moderate Muslim according to the Quran, according to the Islamic God, Allah. And Affleck, oh, well, that's horrible. The people who would actually believe in an act that you murder someone if you lead Islam is not the majority of Muslims at all. No. Sorry, pal. You're wrong. I receive thousands of letters around the world from individuals who left Islam as a result of confronting the truth about Islam and Prophethood. And to a person, they say, please keep my identity confidential, because if my family knew what I had done, they would kill me. There are tens of thousands of what they call honor killings perpetrated in the West alone regarding Islam. When a child grows up and rejects their religion, if a Muslim girl or boy rejects Islam, their parents hunt them down and kill them. Yes, Scott.
What happened when you wrote Powerful to Do?
Thousands upon thousands of death threats by Muslims.
And why does IQ go by IQ and not let anybody know where he is?
And one reason, we don't even ever announce where he's broadcasting from.
We don't know.
Muslims threaten to kill him. Oh, I know. Well, Muslims threaten to kill him routinely. Routinely. If you want to tell the truth about this religion, those who are zealous about this religion will threaten to kill you. But look at a country where Islam prevails. In any country governed by Sharia law, if a Muslim rejects Islam, they're sentenced to death. This is not a question of stereotyping. It's a question of what does the Quran say and what do Muslims do? And Affleck's answer to disregard what the Quran says and what Muslims do is ridiculous. It says that I'm going to ignore the pertinent evidence. I'm going to ignore the historic example. And I'm going to instead replace those things with my unfounded opinion. And that'll be my argument. And it prevails in America because most Americans are ignorant. It is the majority of Muslims, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what the Quran says. If the Quran is not true, and it isn't, then there's nothing of Islam. If what Allah says in the Quran about killing a Muslim that rejects Islam, if what Allah says in the Quran is not true, then the most compassionate thing you can do for the Muslim is to expose and condemn Islam so that they're not squandering their lives to this destructive and deadly religion. Think that through. Since the Quran says, in Allah's voice, kill a believer that rejects Islam, if you were to say that that cannot be true, is not true, should not have been said, and yet it is in the Quran, then what are you going to do? Then the smartest, wisest, most compassionate thing you can do is to condemn Islam and free Muslims from its insanity. after some crosstalk, Harris claimed, and with his view, that we're misled to think that the fundamentalists in Islam are the fringe. As Mayer added, that moderate Muslims are afraid to speak out. Yet we are misled by everyone in positions of influence in this country, and maybe even the West, that fundamentalists are the fringe. The facts are that is not the case. There are hundreds of polls, hundreds of votes, hundreds of examples around the world that demonstrate that the majority of Muslims are fundamentalists. And that if you are not a fundamentalist in Islam, then fundamentalist Muslims will hunt you down and kill you. There is no such thing as a moderate Muslim. The Quran itself says so. Affleck responded that a better idea would be to criticize Muslims who hold such views, not the whole religion. But that's what you're missing at, Affleck. That's where you've missed everything that's pertinent. You and so many others in Hollywood. The problem is the religion. We ought not be criticizing Muslims. We ought to be criticizing Islam. That's the whole problem. The entirety of the religion is the motherlode of bad ideas. Its God is modeled after Satan. Its lone prophet was repulsive, deadly, destructive, dishonest. The religion itself has destroyed everything it has touched for all of the time that it has been in existence. Look at the hell that Muslims perpetrate on one another. Try to find something in this ocean of hellish results from this deadly disease of Islam that could be viewed positively. The problem is the whole religion. It's not individual Muslims. You're wrong, Affleck. Study the religion. Come to know what you're talking about before you talk about it. He said, what's your solution? To condemn Islam? Yeah, that's the solution. It's the only compassionate, the only informed, the only rational, the only moral solution is to condemn Islam. Just as Americans at one time, when they had backbone, a little moral fiber, they condemned the KKK. Today we need to condemn Islam. And we need to condemn Islam based on the Quran and Hadith, based upon Muhammad, based upon Allah. Now, if you want to condemn Islam based upon its first 10 years of the Islamic era, where it was a terrorist machine, have at it. If you want to condemn Islam based on its first 100 years, where it was more murderous than any other time and any other religious machine in human history, have at it. If you want to condemn Islam for the horrible conditions under which Muslims live today and the torment of women, have at it. If you want to condemn Islam today for the imposition of Sharia law, have at it. If you want to condemn Muslims today for the barbaric act of the most fundamentalist Islamic terrorists, have at it. If you want to condemn Islam today for the realization that Muslims perpetrate 99% of today's terrorist acts, you can do that too. But the smartest, wisest, most compassionate thing to do is to condemn the religion of Islam based upon the foundations of Islam, based upon Muhammad and Allah, the Quran and the Hadith. The actor who directed the Oscar-winning film Argo, which was shot mostly in Turkey, received a very positive response from viewers who appreciated his perspective, no matter how dishonest he was, misleading he was. Mind you, He's advocating ignorantly on behalf of a religion responsible for 99% of the world's terrorism, for mass murder, over a million lives in the last decade, for kidnapping, and sexual discrimination. He's advocating on behalf of a religion that endorses the slave trade. He's advocating on behalf of a religion where the God is modeled after Satan, and where the prophet was a horrible and disgusting pervert. He's an idiot. We have Glenn on the line. Glenn, I want to make one more comment before you chime in. The Secretary of State of the United States gave this impassioned liberal cry, and he says, it's time to step up to Ebola. No. It's time to step away from Ebola. Hi, Glenn. Welcome. Glenn, I see you there. You should be live and ready to go. I can hear some sound in the background. Yeah. But you know, I think the duck has more of a clue. Yeah, the duck has far more of a clue than does the pretty boy actor.
Affleck is the insurance. Affleck is the actor.
Okay.
But when I was little, you know, in the time, I was kind of, kind of harangy there. I gotta tell you, of late, I think your frustration and anger might be getting to you a bit, because I'm as much a fan of debate, refutation, polemics as anyone, but of late you seem to be getting a bit launching into taking on a tone of what may be considered a bit of a harangue.
All right. Well, thank you, Glenn, for that evaluation of this review of Ben Affleck's statement. I don't know if it added anything, but nonetheless, we have his opinion. As we return to Shattering Myths, I'm going to harangue against the President of the United States' continued statements before the United Nations. I am disgusted when people in positions of influence lie, deceive, mislead. I care. I don't know about you. I don't do this program because I'm paid a boatload of money. I'm not pretending. I do this program because I'm passionate. I'm passionate about the truth. And I'm passionate when people lie. I devoted the better part of 10 years of my life to exposing and condemning Islam. I received thousands of death threats for exposing and condemning Islam. And I finally ceased doing it as a full-time devotion. After I ran into two hosts and two successive interviews like Ben Affleck, that let's disregard what the Quran and Hadith say. Let's disregard who Muhammad was. Let's disregard the history of Islam. Let's disregard the conditions found today in Islamic societies. Let's disregard all of that, and then let's then slander the individual who is bringing you that information, who take the time to be informed and is willing to inform you at risk of their own life. Let's label them a racist. And then for good measure, let's replace all of the evidence with unfounded opinions because they're politically correct. I take exception to that. I'm in a position where I've earned the right to take exception to that. There was a note in the news. In fact, I read it on my news feeds before I heard it in the SRN news, that the Ebola patient died in Texas, and that the Presbyterian Hospital is saying, oh, with deep sadness, we're announcing that he's dead. Good riddance. It's a shame, however, that America took him into its elite hospitals, that he was given millions of dollars worth of care, that the dialysis machines that he was on will be thrown away, that the respirators that he was on will be discarded, that the hospital beds that he occupied will no longer serve, that others were exposed to Ebola. Because he knew he had Ebola when he came into this country. He knowingly exposed his family to Ebola. He came here because he thought perhaps he could get better care here than he could in West Africa, in Liberia, for Ebola, where he would just have been another one of all of those folks who died. But having America respond and do the wrong thing and to try to cure him and to reach out and to try to help him when he was acting in a manner that was grotesquely, not only immoral, but counterproductive to the interests of Americans, is just going to invite more stupidity. We did the wrong thing. We should never have let him into this country. And when he was diagnosed with Ebola, we should not have cared for him. Now, I understand that as I continue to express the truth about Ebola, that there's lots of people that are very uncomfortable with the reality that you cannot resolve Ebola through compassion. You can't stand up to it. You can't care for it. There's only one solution to Ebola, and that's to quarantine it, to distance oneself from it. That's the only solution. It is the most compassionate thing to do. If you want the consequence of Ebola to be limited to thousands as opposed to millions, you quarantine it. You stand away from it. You stop trying to help people that have it. And most certainly, when someone comes into this country that knows they have been exposed to Ebola, that have had the two people that they were in immediate and intimate contact with die from Ebola prior to coming here, for them to quit their job and to come here after they know they had direct contact with Ebola, and to serve them in this way, shows how far we have fallen as a nation, as well as the news coverage of it. No. It was the wrong thing to do. And we do the wrong thing most of the time because we are misinformed and we don't, as a nation, think. I do want to return, as I have promised, to the president's speech introducing the New World Order, a war on extremism and a total integration of world governance. It was amongst the most insightful and yet destructive diatribes ever uttered by a person in a position of influence. And we're going to return to it after the commercial break. So in his UN address, the President of the United States didn't say we should consider. He said we must take concrete steps to address the danger posed by religiously motivated fanatics. Well, Mr. Abominator, if they're religiously motivated, what religion would that be? If the group you want the world to collectively assail is the Islamic State, and you said the Islamic State is not Islamic, then how could there be a danger posed by religiously motivated fanatics? Is there another religion out there that is posing as Islam, Mr. President? You know, when you contradict yourself in the midst of a single speech, what you're saying is, don't trust me. So he began by saying that the terrorists had perverted a great religion. And now he is saying that it's a religiously group, the danger is religiously motivated fanatics. So is there a religion that's responsible for this other than Islam, and we've just not heard of it? What might that religion be, Mr. President? Well, the reason he's saying religiously motivated fanatics as opposed to Islamic fanatics, or more correctly, Islamic fundamentalists, is because what he is advocating is a war against extremism. He says, moreover, this campaign of extremism goes beyond a narrow security challenge. You see, because from his point of view, you're an extremist if you criticize the American government, the American military, the American judicial system. You're an extremist if you criticize Islam. He called the movie, which accurately portrayed Mohammed's personality quirks, extremist. So he wants to have a broad perspective on his campaign on extremism as a security challenge. And so anyone that doesn't go along with political correctness, who isn't one of, oh, Ben, you're so wonderful in standing up for us Muslims. Oh, thank you for debating those mean-mouthed, mean-tongued, anti-Muslim racists. No, we're going to label anybody who tells the truth extremist. And because, listen, the truth is so unpopular, it is a rather extreme view today, right? The Abominator went on to say that no God condones this terror. No grievance justifies these actions. That's not true. Read the Quran. Allah presents himself as a terrorist. He justifies the use of terror. He condones it. He tells Muslims that they need to engage in terror. The Quran itself in the 8th surah, the 9th surah, the 5th surah, and the 33rd surah all condone terrorism. And they tell, Allah tells Muslims that it's their duty to terrorize non-Muslims and hypocrites, those pretend peaceful Muslims, so that the whole world would know that you can't oppose Islam without horrendous consequence. So it's not that no God condones this terror, because in reality, and maybe Obama knows this, Allah's not God, he's Satan. And so it is possible that while it would be disingenuous to the maximum possible degree where he says no God condones this terror, and he's inferring that Allah doesn't condone terror, and the fact is Allah does condone terror throughout the Quran. Muhammad deployed terror as his primary tactic, and the Quran orders Muslims to follow his example. You cannot be a good Muslim without being a terrorist. All good Muslims are terrorists. It's inseparable from the very fabric of the religion. But it is true, in a way, that no God, no actual God, condones this terror, because Allah is not actually God. Then he went on to say there can be no reasoning, no negotiation with this brand of evil. The only language that understood by killers is the language of force. That's not true either. Now, while there can be no reasoning with the religious, that's not what he wants to say, because he doesn't want to associate Islam with religion, or Islamic terrorism with the Islamic religion, I should say. He knows that it's a brand of evil, this religious aggression, but he doesn't want to associate that evil with the fundamental basis of Islam, the Quran and Hadith, Muhammad, Allah. Now, while there is no reasoning with a religious person, religious people are immune to evidence and reason. Reason is still the most effective tool. Words, wielded wisely, are the single most destructive weapons that can be deployed against religious lies. Cite what the Quran says. Cite what Muhammad did. Expose the destructive and deadly nature of Islam using words. Tell the truth with your words. And what happens is that those who are already willing to question their religion, who are bad Muslims, will reject Islam when confronted with the truth. And those who have been supporting Islam, either by doing business with the with OPEC or by supplying hundreds of billions of dollars worth of weapons to Islamic regimes, won't be able to do so when the truth is known about those with whom they're doing business. Reason is the single most effective tool we have. Words wielded wisely. And this notion that the only language understood by killers is the language of force is just not true. It's never been true, and it's not true. When America went into Vietnam and decided that it would use force to constrain the Vietnamese, we empowered them. We enabled them. We made them vastly more popular. They just pointed to the sky above all of the villages that we were bombing and said, whose insignia is on the wings of those airplanes that is bombing you? That is your enemy. And it's what happened in our invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan. We, by doing the wrong thing, we empowered the wrong people. Since America has engaged in this bombing campaign and declared war on the Islamic State has gained territory, they have gained popularity, they've increased their manpower, they have gained access to more sophisticated equipment. As a matter of fact, 2 days in a row now, they've shot down an American aircraft being flown by the Iraqis with surface-to-air missiles. 2 days in a row. When you lash out at zealots with force and you become no better than they are, you confront killers with killing, you actually are engaging in that which is counterproductive from all possible perspectives. First of all, you lose the high moral ground. Your motivations are no longer compelling. You're no longer on the side of the truth. You've just become a killer along with the killers. You're no better than they are. You have joined them. And when the killing apparatus is religiously inspired, as Obama knows that the Islamic State fits that, that the more you attack them, the more you declare war on them, the stronger they become, the more effective they are at recruiting. So no, it's the opposite is true. It's not the language of force that they know, they understand. Now, if you want to eliminate the threat of Islam, there's only very few things you need to do. In free societies, leaders, academia, media, military, judicial, and political need to tell the truth. Stop playing pretty boy Ben and pretending that you know things that you are wholly ignorant on. Shed your ignorance if you're going to talk. And if you're in a position where you should be talking, then you should be required to shed your ignorance. You should be required to read the Quran and Hadith. Once you have done so, then speak the truth. Wield words wisely. And no one in their right mind will want to continue to promote Islam if collectively those in positions of influence are all telling the truth about the religion. No one will want to be seen as an advocate for a rapist, for a pedophile, for a slave trader, for a kidnapper, and for a terrorist. And that's what Muhammad was. Islam ceases to have any grip on people living in a free society when you do that, using words and reason. And then in Islamic countries, rather than bombing them, rather than deploying force, which all we do is make a bad situation worse. Look what we did in Afghanistan. Look what we did in Iraq. Look what we've done to Syria. Look what we did in Libya. Rather than being part of the problem, rather than supplying weapons to both sides, rather than breaking these countries and trying to impose our virtues on them, even though we seem to no longer have any virtues, walk away from them. Walk away from them. Disengage. If Muslims are going to kill one another, let them do so with sticks and stones, not with American weapons. If Muslims are going to kill, let them kill one another, not Americans, because we've gone there. If they want to hate, let them hate one another. And disengage from doing business with Muslims and Islamic countries who are funding Islamic terrorism. We can reason our way out of this. We can use words. And they would be effective if we were to wield them wisely. But if we continue this avenue of the language of force, it will ultimately backfire and destroy us. We will continue to make bad situations worse. We will empower those who wish us dead. So after having invaded both Afghanistan and Iraq, the Abominator says, nor do we intend to send U.S. troops to occupy foreign lands. And yet, America has troops in more countries than does any other military in the world. And we are currently occupying Afghanistan. That's a foreign land. Unless the whole world somehow belongs to the Abominator, we have troops, U.S. troops, in many foreign lands. In fact, there was three or four Americans that were just swept away in a typhoon because we have American troops in Japan. I think Japan is a foreign land. Last time I checked. We have troops in Korea. That's a foreign land last time I checked. We have American troops in the Philippines. That's a foreign land last time I checked. The Abominator just opened a base and for American Marines in Australia because he wanted to have a more prolific stance against China. I think that's a foreign land. Last time I checked. America has a very large military presence. And Qatar. I hope to hell that's a foreign land. America has a large military presence in Germany. And last time I checked, that too is a foreign land. So it says, nor do we intend to send U.S. troops to occupy foreign lands. We do it regularly. Instead, we will support Iraqis and Syrians fighting to reclaim their communities. Which Syrians are we going to support? I mean, seriously, there's two sides on the Syrian battle. Two sides. Which side are we going to support? Are we going to support Assad, which is the Hezbollah Iran side, or are we going to support the Sunni Mujahideens that are seeking to overthrow Assad, which is the Islamic State now, which we claim to be at war against, and we wanted to bomb Assad. So how are we going to support the Syrians who want to reclaim their communities when we're opposed to the Syrian regime and we're opposed to, at war with, the most effective Mujahideen fighting them? How can a man say this with a straight face? How can he say that we want to support Iraqis fighting to reclaim their communities when we went into Iraq and we deposed the Sunnis that were in charge of Iraq, and we precluded them reclaiming their communities because we empowered the Shias. And then we built an army to enable the Shias to continue to terrorize and torment the Sunnis. So who do we want to reclaim their community? America was overtly opposed to the Kurds having independence. We didn't want them to reclaim their communities. So he just says this and hopes that no one will think it through. He says that the world, especially Muslim communities, must explicitly, forcefully, and consistently reject the ideology of Al-Qaeda and ISIL. Well, of course, there is no ISIL. There's the Islamic State. And there is Al-Qaeda, but neither Al-Qaeda nor the Islamic State have an ideology. And for Muslims to reject the collective ideology of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, because they don't have their own independent ideology or a collective ideology that would make them unique from Islam. Since Islam is the only ideology of Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State, how are Muslim communities going to reject it without ceasing to become Muslim communities? It would be absolutely impossible. This notion that there is a unique ideology of Al-Qaeda and that that somehow is also the unique ideology of the Islamic State, recognizing that these two entities are enemies of one another, and that Al-Qaeda doesn't really even have an existence in the world today, and so is irrelevant, is to infer that there is a difference between Islam and the ideology of the once influential Al-Qaeda and the currently influential Islamic State. But nothing could be further from the truth. When Al-Qaeda was relevant and is the case with the Islamic State today, they do not have independent ideologies. Their ideology is fundamentalist Islam. They're Sunni Muslim organizations. They attract Muslims. They live and kill on Muslim ideals. They cite the Quran. They believe in Allah. They scream Allahu Akbar when they commit terrorist acts. They are the living example of Muhammad in today's world. We'll be back.